Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ruth. In the rabbinic tradition, the main theme of Ruth is chesed, which refers to the loyalty or faithfulness that arises when people are deeply committed to each other. Loyalty and faithfulness that are ultimately a reflection of God's love. Now, Ruth's story begins in the time of the judges. That was a time when the tribes of Israel were without a king or any kind of centralized government. It was a dangerous, chaotic time. But the more pressing problem in the book of Ruth was famine. The book is focused on a family from Bethlehem. Now, in Hebrew, Bethlehem literally means house of bread. But this family had to leave Bethlehem. They had to leave the house of bread because there was no food for them to feed their children. Elimelech and Naomi took their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and immigrated to Moab, which was the land of Israel's bitter enemies. They put down roots and built a life there. Mahlon and Chilion married Moabite women, but that family could not escape death. Elimelech and his two sons all died, leaving behind three widows. In the time of the judges, in that dangerous, chaotic time, three widows were in a very precarious position. Now, our scripture reading today picks up when Naomi hears that the famine in Judah has ended. She decides to return back home, and one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, decides to go with her. It is Ruth who will go on to become the star of the biblical book that bears her name, Ruth the Moabite. Ruth is a foreigner from the land of Israel's bitter enemies. She is a woman, a widow, and she redeems a nation because she will go on to marry an Israelite man and bear a son named Obed, who will become the father of Jesse, who will become the father of David, that is, King David. And if we skip ahead a few hundred generations, let us not forget who comes from the line of David, Jesus of Nazareth. Ruth the Moabite is part of Jesus' family tree. Today it is Ruth the Moabite who teaches us about the gift of chesed, the gift of loyal love and faithful friendship. It is Ruth who reminds us that we are in this together. Thanks be to God. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then she, Naomi, started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they are grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are in this together. Somehow Ruth knew that, even though it would have made perfect sense for her to do as her sister-in-law Orpah did, even though no one would have questioned her desire to stay in her own land and build a new life there, even though she would have been following her mother-in-law's wishes, Ruth could not let Naomi walk away on her own. She declared her love and her loyalty to Naomi with some of the most beautiful words in Scripture. "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." This passage is often used in wedding ceremonies. It was included in my own. But the original context for these words is not a romantic relationship, but a deep friendship. A friendship marked by love and loyalty, care, and commitment, a friendship in which two people were willing to share each other's burdens and encourage each other's faith. It was in and through that kind of friendship that both Ruth and Naomi experienced the love of God. We are in this together. One of my divinity school classmates, Rabbi Jordy Gerson, learned how true that is while she was serving a synagogue in San Diego, California. For the first year Rabbi Jordy was in San Diego, she visited a congregant who was in the last stages of ALS. They had never met when he was well, and by the time she started visiting him regularly, he'd lost his ability to speak and to move. But Rabbi Jordy had heard a lot about him. She knew he'd been a staggeringly successful event planner, that he had lived all over the world. He had spent years planning parties and events for kings and queens and presidents. He had famous friends. He was a person of great energy and kindness, and he was also a man of deep faith. Now, on Rabbi Jordy's first visit to him, she was honestly a bit terrified. She wondered what she could offer to a man who was 40 years her senior, a man who was so sophisticated and quite a jet setter. That first morning, she walked into his room, sat down by his bed, and smiled. He raised his eyebrows, and the corners of his mouth moved up ever so slightly. Rabbi Jordy took his hand, and she started to sing. It was a simple psalm that she sang over and over again, first with the Hebrew words, and then she just hummed the tune. As she continued, a slow smile seemed to spread across his face. Tears filled his eyes and began to come down his cheeks. She was worried that she was upsetting him, so she stopped singing, but he raised his eyebrows as if to say, "Please, go on." And so that became their ritual. On Friday mornings, she would visit him. She would chant the prayer for healing. She would light and bless the Shabbat candles and then take his hand and begin to sing. And every week, his eyes would light up and he would smile that small smile, and then he would cry. And every week, what Rabbi Jordy learned is that often it's our showing up that means the most. That sometimes our mere presence is the best possible cure for a broken heart or a wounded soul or a hurting body. When Rabbi Jordy reflected on her experience visiting with that congregant, she was reminded of two very simple but powerful teachings from the Jewish law. The first, Rabbi Abba, son of Rabbi Hanina, taught, "The one who visits a sick person takes away 1/60th of that person's pain." And the second, Rabbi Chia was suffering, and Rabbi Yohanan gave him his hand. Rabbi Chia was lifted. Notice how simple and yet profound those teachings are. There's nothing in them that requires we even know what to say, right? Just by showing up to visit a sick person, we can remove 1/60th of that person's pain. And then there's Rabbi Yohanan. He doesn't even say a word to Rabbi Chia. He simply holds his hand, and there is comfort in that. So we can be reminded that even when people are grieving and we don't know what to say to them, even when people are suffering and we don't know how to help them, even when people are dying and we are not sure what more we can do than just stay by their sides, even then there is something profound and holy about simply remembering that we are in this together. Throughout our summer preaching series on gratitude, we have focused so far on gratitude as an individual feeling and an individual practice. But this week and in the weeks to come, we're making a shift. We're going to think about gratitude as a communal feeling and practice, a communal feeling and practice, something that opens our hearts to each other and draws us together. What Rabbi Jordy reminds us, what Ruth and Naomi teach us, is that we are in this together. There is something profoundly holy about friendships that are marked by love and loyalty, care and commitment. There is something profoundly holy about friendships in which people are willing to share each other's burdens and encourage each other's faith. These kinds of holy friendships remind us that the gift of gratitude can be experienced in community, because gratitude is connected deeply to empathy. Gratitude is connected to our ability to understand and feel each other's emotions. There is a Sanskrit word that helps to describe this sense of gratitude as a communal emotion and practice, kamamuta, which means moved by love. God knows that we need each other, That is why God calls us into relationship. That is why God calls us into community. That is why God calls us to open our hearts to each other so that we can be moved by love. And it is here in this place where we can find friendships, those holy friendships that are marked by love and loyalty, care and commitment. Friendships in which people are willing to share each other's burdens and encourage each other's faith. So often, I talk with people who are struggling in their faith and they feel profoundly alone. They are yearning for God to break into their lives in some sort of spectacular, earth-shattering way, but so often God comes to us unannounced. God just slips right into our lives through the people who are already around us, the people who are willing to hold our hands. Through a kind word or an unexpected phone call, through laughter shared or tears wiped away, through prayers offered or advice given, and even when words fail, through hands held. We get to show up for each other. We get to take away 1/60th of each other's pain. Friends, God knows that we need each other, so God calls us into relationship. God calls us into community. We are in this together. Thanks be to God. Amen.